Okay. Well, first of all, thank you so much to Cindy and Lord Will for making such a powerful and wonderful video for us to sing together and enjoy together. So just a great job, as always, Cindy and Lord Will. Also, we have Mark. Hey, Mark. Mark Andrew. And Josie, hopefully you're also watching. Hope you're doing well, Mark, wherever you are. Jim, oh yeah, you're there also. Also, Grace and Joyce. Joyce, I hope you're doing okay and that you're feeling better and that you're happy to be with Mommy. And I'm looking forward. Next time I see you, Joyce, I'm going to give you a big hug. So just get ready for that, okay? And who else do we have? Tim. Hey, Tim. How you doing? Hopefully also Toshie and Micah and Amy are watching with you as well. I hope you're doing good. And also just thanks again to Maria for guest appearing, for the guest appearance in the worship video. Wonderful songs. I hope we can sing Christ Be Magnified when we all get together here at church face-to-face once more. So, wonderful. Mark says he's doing well, so I'm glad to hear it, Mark. Very good. And, yeah, now we have 16. We started at 4 people when we just opened the service, which is typical for an English international service at Mitaki. During the singing, another 10 people arrive. So you came right on time. So yeah, and if you come, let us know that you've arrived or that you have logged in or pressed play on the live stream so that we can welcome you. An idea occurred to me while we were singing, and I was commenting in the comments in the YouTube stream. This is kind of the way that we can, interact, so to speak, live, which is just through the comments during the live stream. So please don't be shy and give us your comments. And I'm thinking maybe we have 3 more Sundays where we have to do this live stream on YouTube. And maybe next week we can do some prayer, some kind of testimony and sharing in prayer. And the way that we could do that is perhaps you could comment your praise or prayer request anytime during the music, and then I'll be happy to read that prayer or praise, and after the singing time, that could be the kind of testimony time, if you will, for the service, and then we can do some praying for that. I think that's kind of one way that we could work around not being able to meet together and share our testimonies with each other. That's my favorite part of the service, is just being able to listen to everybody's testimony and doing life together, since we're such a small congregation and we're here to pray and support each other. So, yeah. Grace just put a comment there for Maria and Michelle. Praise God for worshipers. Yeah, thank you for the worship team. Amen. So just keep that in mind. Maybe I'll mention it later on again. Just to remind everybody, we have 16 people on the live stream now, so hopefully you caught what I just said, but if not, I'll say it again at the end. So, okay, so let me just pray in general for us this week, right now, and then we'll get into our time of studying and meditating on the Word of God. So, right where you are, please pray together with me. Our Father in heaven, may your name be glorified. Our Lord Jesus Christ, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus, our King. Lord, we love you, we worship you, and we gather online in your name, and we want to honor you, not only in this hour, but throughout our life this week. And though we cannot meet together, Father, our hearts and minds are united in this hour to dedicate to you, to listen to you, to sing to you, to lift up our lives to you. And Father, for every name that I saw in the comments section, and then also for those who are still just joining us on the live stream, Father, I pray that your presence and power are with each one in such a way that there is no doubt that God is with us, that your Spirit is dwelling in us, that the spring of living water is filling us, and we are overflowing with love, joy, peace, and all of the fruit of the Spirit. I pray for those who, Lord, are in need of encouragement, that they would find encouragement even now. I pray for those who have not been able to meet with us physically and face-to-face for over a year. I pray that you will allow them perseverance and endurance and give them all the strength they need. And I pray, Father, for those of us who are weary from being apart and being separated, not only from church, but from work or from students or other people. Lord God, please help us to have strength to endure for the sake of Jesus Christ. These things we pray in his name. Amen. So, if you hopefully have your Bible app, please open your Bible to the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and I'm going to read for you verses 1 through 14. Let me read. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name do you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, we are being called to account today for an act of kindness. If we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, by whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. And then verse 14, Excuse me, that was verse 14. I'm sorry. So, did I continue that? Yeah, okay, good. So, basically, this is from chapter 4, and I chose a passage or text which is often left unpreached in many churches, but I thought this was a great chance to share with you something that I have been learning and studying for quite some time now that I feel I'm ready to share. And it's something that's so powerful and so good that it changes lives. It's such a good thing to know about the Word of God and about God. And it's clear in this story. What I want to tell you about today is something that Bible students call name theology. Basically, the study of the name of God and the meaning of that name and the importance of it. Because our life as a Christian, our joy, our power, our peace, our security, our stability, our psychology, our identity, our significance, everything, so much of it is bound up in this phrase or this expression called the name. The name of God, the name of Jesus. And it's not something superstitious. I know that maybe you hear us praying and, you know, we have the custom of praying in Jesus' name. And we end all of our prayers in the name of Jesus. Or this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Or as Grace prays, in Jesus' name I have prayed and believed. Or something like this formula that if we say at the end of our prayer, in Jesus' name, that is a kind of formula where God must answer our prayer. Like, oh, you said in Jesus' name. Well, now I have to. I have to listen, you know. And it's a kind of superstitious belief, which is not what Christ wanted us to think when he taught us. Anything you pray or anything you ask in my name, the Father will give to you, if it's according to his will. It's so much more than just you're trying to pull on God's, you know, shirt and trying to get his attention. It's so much more than that. I want you to imagine. I have here, it might be, oh, there it is, yeah. You can see I have a USB flash drive or USB disk or whatever you call these things. You know, you put it into your computer or your device, into the USB drive or USB port, and, you know, it has memory, right? A flash memory disk. And I want you to imagine you have one in your hand right now. On one side, it says the name, okay? And then on the other side, it says Jesus Christ of Nazareth, okay? So this flash disk is about the name. This is your information. This is your cachet of knowledge when it comes to the name of Jesus. And maybe you have inside there, you know, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Or maybe you have in there what we just sang, you know, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Or maybe you have inside there what Cindy read from Philippians chapter 2, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ, the Lord, at the name, right? maybe you have in there something more. Maybe you have also, you know, in Matthew 28, Jesus commands us to go and make disciples and teach them everything, and baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Maybe you have that in your flash disk of what it means to have the name of Jesus. You know what? That's good. That's a lot. That's almost enough, really, to get you through so many situations and just to get you through your Christian life. But I'll tell you what, just what I said there, Matthew 28, Philippians chapter 2, John chapter 6, you know, ask anything in my name, or just the formula of praying in the name of Jesus, or just a song about the name. That is about, let's just say, one mega something. My vocabulary is dead right now. 1 megabyte of information about the name, of 1 megabyte of application of significance. The problem is this flash drive that you have, the capacity is not 1 megabyte, but 1 million trillion terabytes. Okay, that's the biggest thing I can think of. In other words, the idea that you have, the information that you're using, the way that you're applying the theology, the doctrine of the name, if all you have is just a few verses and maybe a song, it's so small. There is so much more. There's so much to know. And the more you know, the more that you can deepen your understanding about the principle of the name, the more your life can be transformed. The more your mind is renewed. And as Romans chapter 12, Paul says, you know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's so much to be changed. We're not looking for improvement in our life. We're looking for transformation. Change my life, right? And so much of that is in the name. The name, the concept of the name. So basically, we're in chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. And the reason I chose chapter 4, verses 1 through 14 is because of the frequency in which that phrase, the name, it appears. For example, if you look at verse 7, the leaders are asking Peter and John, by what power or what name did you heal this man? Or in verse 10, it says, Peter answers, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, that this man stands before you healed. Or, let's see, verse 12, it says, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven. The word name is there. But it doesn't end there. I'm going to include, if you look on the screen, I know it's a little bit small, but I'm going to start there, Acts chapter 3, verse 6. This story of Peter and John standing before the leaders of Israel, that story started in chapter 3. It's a famous story. Many of you know it. Peter and John, they are walking to the temple, which is their daily habit, to meet with other believers and to study the word together and to worship Jesus Christ together. And as they're walking in, there's a man who is my age, over 40 years old. And he's been, you know, he can't walk, his legs don't work, and he's asking for money. And he asks for money for Peter and John, and Peter looks at him and says, look at me! And the man says, okay, what do you want? You know, are you going to give me some money? And Peter says, silver and gold I have none, But I tell you, in the name of Jesus, what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And then the story continues. He gets up. He dances. He's jumping. And he's dancing. And it's amazing. It's a miracle. And what happens is everybody sees this man who is always begging and he can never walk. And now he's rejoicing and dancing and praising God. And so there's a crowd that gathers. And everybody's there wondering what's going on. And Peter, like he did in chapter 2, he gets up and tells them the gospel. Jesus Christ was here 50 days ago. He was crucified at Passover. And 3 days later, the next Sunday, he rose from the dead. You all crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. And by this power, in this man's name, we are gathered together worshiping this Jesus Christ as the Messiah of Israel and therefore the Lord of the earth. And we are now living our lives because he is resurrected. So we are living our lives in his name. We're helping each other. We're praying together. We're exchanging our goods together. We're supporting each other. We're praying with each other in the name, under the name. And now you see this man healed by the power and in the name of this resurrected Jesus. So Peter is explaining all this, and then the leaders are there in the temple, and they're saying, what's going on? And so they put John and Peter in jail. But it's the evening, so they can't have a trial. And so now it's chapter 4. And in chapter 4, we read the story. They gather them the next day, and they get the high priests and other members of the family, and da-da-da-da-da. And here's Peter talking about the name. They ask them, by what power, by what name? And Peter is saying, there's no other name that men can be saved, in verse 12. But there's more. If you notice on the screen, chapter 4, verse 17, the leaders are telling Peter and John, stop this thing from spreading any further among the people. We must warn them not to speak. We must warn them to speak no longer in this name. Right? And then verse 18, then they called them in again. They called Peter and John back and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And so Peter and John, they get away, you know, they go back home, they go back to the headquarters, to the other people who are Christians. Now there's 5,000 of them. In chapter 2, there was 3,000, right? In chapter 1, there was 120. But now it's from 120 to 5,000, and they're all gathered. And Peter says, it's amazing. They just told us to stop speaking in this name, but we said, we can't do that. We've got to obey God. And so all the believers, the new Christians, the new church, they praise God, and they're praying. They're thanking God that John and Peter are set free. But this is a part of their prayer in verse 30. This is what they say to God. They ask God, God, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So in verse 30, it says, through the name of your holy servant. In verse 18 and in verse 17, in the name of Jesus. And verse 6, in the name of Jesus. And then also in other places, it's by the name. We're saved by the name of Jesus, or we are healing people by the name of Jesus. So it's through the name, in the name, by the name of Jesus. Well, what is that? Where does that come from? Okay, now it gets good. I got 10 minutes. I want to explain something called biblical theology. It's just a big word that means we're going to follow this idea all the way from the beginning of the Bible to the end, from the Old Testament, even in the New Testament. And our hope is that you go from 1 megabyte of memory, of information about the name, and I want to put a few more megabytes in there. And that memory, that information, that significance will be a seed that grows in your heart and in your mind and just transform the way you live as you live as a Christian under the name and by the name and through the name of Jesus. So let me give you a few more megabytes. We'll start at Exodus. In the book of Exodus, chapter 23, verse 20, God has gathered the people at Mount Sinai. God took them out, took the people of Israel out of Egypt. They're at Mount Sinai. They're now about to go from Sinai to the promised land. And God is saying, I'm now going to lead you through the desert. But now that I'm going to lead you through the desert, I'm going to give you my angel. It's important that you do everything that he says, obey all of his commands. And this is chapter 20, verse 23, Exodus. Be careful to do everything he commands, because he has the power to forgive every sin. Why? Because my name is in him. So God says, I'm going to lead you through, and I'm going to lead you with my angel. And my angel is me, because only God can forgive sin. But this angel is me, but he's separate from me. He's distinct from me. He has my essence. He has my power. He has my authority, because he has the authority and the power to forgive sin. How? Because he has my name. This angel that God is sending to the people of Israel has the name of God on him. And therefore, he has the power, the authority. That's one little megabyte. Let me give you the next one. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, now they've gone through the desert. It's been 40 years of wandering. Now they're about to enter the promised land. They're on one side of the Jordan River, and they're at this mountain, and Moses is telling them, get ready. We're about to go into this land. You are going to. I got to stay here. And then Moses is giving a sermon in Deuteronomy chapter 12. And God is speaking to them, and he's saying, when you go into this land, don't live like the people in the land, serving Baal and Ashtoreth and all these other gods. Because in this land, I'm going to put you on a mountain. And I'm going to put you on that mountain, and on that mountain, I'm going to put my temple. And at that temple, I'm going to put my name. So the temple, which is in the city, which is on the mountain, which is in the country where you're going to live, is going to be the country, the mountain, the city, the temple of my name. And because my name is on that temple, on that city, on that mountain, in that country, my presence is there. Wait a minute. My presence. My being. You mean like back in the garden? You mean like in Genesis? Chapter 3, when God was walking in the garden as his, like a, like a, like a man walks, you know, takes a walk around his neighborhood, maybe before dinner, in the cool of the evening, like that kind of presence? Yes. When God's name is on something, it means his essence, his being, his presence is there. God is there. It's not the name like J-E-S-U-S, like those letters are gonna save the world. It's not like Y-H-W-H. It's not that set of consonants, the Shinji. That's not the name. What we're talking about is the essence, the authority, the actual being of that person is there. It's a representation of the being which carries the name. So a representation, you mean like an image? Yes, it's a form of an image, the name. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, let us make man in our image. It means let us make man as our representation. God wanted his representatives on earth, someone who would represent his heavenly authority, his heavenly power, his heavenly dominion to be executed here on earth through humans who bear his image, his representation, his name. So we go from Genesis 1 to Genesis 3, Exodus to Deuteronomy. And it carries on into the Psalms. And there's so many places in the Psalms that mention the name, which brings comfort. The name, which is a strong tower. The name is a refuge to God's people. Even in Isaiah chapter 20, or excuse me, chapter 30, Isaiah mentions the name as a warrior. The name as a fighter. And so what we're learning is in the Old Testament, the concept of the name of God is the very essence, it's the very power, the very authority, the actual presence of God living and being with God's people, which bears and carries. That's why the fourth commandment of the 10 that Moses gave, you will not take the name of God in vain. What does that mean? To bear the name, to take the name of it. It does not, well, it starts with, you know, don't just say the name of God as something casual. Of course it means that. You know, don't just say God this or God that. Because you have to honor the name. Hallowed be your name. But it's so much more. When God says in the fourth commandment, don't take my, it's saying, don't bear, don't carry my name, don't show my name, don't represent my name incorrectly, meaninglessly. If you are my people, if you are my child, you have my name. Don't represent my name in a way that dishonors heaven. Because you have my image, my glory, my authority on you as my people. There's power in this name. Don't waste it. Megabytes. Terabytes, gigabytes of the name. The New Testament comes. Jesus arrives. And he's living, he's healing, he's saying, everything I do under my Father's authority, under my Father's will. He's crucified, he's resurrected. He tells us, go. Make disciples and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we read continually, that they gathered in his name. There's healings. The disciples are healing in his name. They're teaching in his name. They're carrying his name. And then we read with Paul saying that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. A few more terabytes, a few more gigabytes. There's one other place in Revelation. Everybody talks about, with the virus, the vaccine. Oh, the vaccine. Don't take the vaccine. It's the government conspiracy. They want to inject a microchip into you, and that's going to be the mark of the beast, and blah, 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 blah. I just heard a terrible joke yesterday. Half of American adults are now vaccinated from coronavirus. The other half are on Facebook. Terrible joke. You're probably not laughing. I'm not. Anyways, so in Revelation, the book of Revelation, the whole point is a lot of people are stuck on the number 666 in Revelation. And, you know, that number 666 is on the forehead of those who don't believe in the Messiah or that Jesus Christ is God. And everybody says, what's the meaning of 666? Why do people have 666 on their hand and on their forehead? And everybody gets stuck on that, but the problem is they don't understand the other group of people who have something else on their forehead and on their hand. There's the non-believers with the 666 and the name of the beast, the name of the Antichrist on their forehead, but don't overlook the other group who are the believers, who are the saved, the people of God. And on their forehead and on their hand is the name of the Lamb of the Lamb of God. That's the whole point. It's not 666 and microchips and vaccine. No. The whole point is that you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the name on your heart, on your mind, in your hand. You are bearing the name because you're living in the name of Jesus Christ. Just a few megabytes. Okay, last few minutes. What significance should this have? How should I live differently? What impact should this have on my life when I go to work tomorrow? I'll tell you right now, there's a couple of them. I'll just give you two. In the Old Testament, God was saying, you have my name. You don't have Baal or Ashtoreth or Chemoth or Chemosh. You don't have the name of Marduk or Ra, the Egyptian god or the Mesopotamian. You have the name Yahweh. You have I am. That's the name. Therefore, be holy. Don't take the name of God lightly. Hallow the name of God. When we pray every day, every morning I get up, I sit up in my bed, right? The first thing I say from my mouth, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, Lord, I know this day will be difficult. I know these people, these students will be hard, but let your name be honored in my life today. That's the meaning of hallowed be your name, the fourth commandment. Repent. Repent of sin and patterns of speech and action. Repent of online browsing and video watching or whatever. Repent of attitudes and outlooks that don't bring honor to the name that you have in your heart and on your mind. You carry the name of Jesus Christ. Be holy as he is holy. There is a way of life. And here's here's the good news. It's grace. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. What are you asking, seeking, and knocking for? Grace, forgiveness. It is through the cross of Jesus Christ that you are able to receive God's forgiveness and his grace and live a holy life. Repent because of the name. Because of the name. Let me give you one more application. One more. And, I think this applies to just about everybody. Which is, you know, a lot of people, you know, they're looking. They're searching. They want peace. They can't find it. They can't sleep at night. They want some kind of joy in life. And they think that if they have this relationship, they will be happy, there will be joy. And so they run to this relationship, and it turns out it's disappointing. Or they think this hobby will find a new kind of joy in their life. And they think, oh, the hobby will give me joy. And then it gets boring after a little while. There's no more joy. Or there's, you know, security or you know, healing or something. They think it will be what they're looking for. Fulfillment and satisfaction. They can't find it. You know, I was watching my sons in the park. They were playing a game. They told me the name. It's called Tori Kago. I think it's Tori Kago. Basically, in English, it's called keep away, where let's say there's five boys, and the four are on the outside. They make a kind of square. And then there's one boy in the middle. And the four boys have a ball, and they're passing the ball to each other. And the boy in the middle is trying to catch the ball. He's trying to steal the ball. Skamaeru. But the ball keeps getting passed to a different boy, right? I think it's Torikago. I don't know. I don't know. So basically, it's called keep away. And so, you know, the boy is trying to get the ball from this person. And just as he's going to get the ball is passed to the net. And he tries to get the ball and back and forth. And every time they think they're going to get the ball gets passed. And they can't catch the ball. That's the game, right? That's how a lot of us live our life. We're trying to find peace, joy, satisfaction, fulfillment, happiness, security, sleep and rest, and excitement. And we're trying to go to these different things, this page or that order, or we try to order something online, or we try to find a new group of friends, or we try to get into a relationship, and we're trying to catch something, but it keeps getting passed around. We can't seem to grab hold of it. Many Christians live like this. But here's the gospel. The gospel is heaven came down to earth, and that the name of heaven was given to each person, the name of Jesus Christ. So everyone who has the name has the joy, has the power, has the peace. Because the book of Acts, the whole point of the story is the name being given not to Peter, not to John, not to Paul, but to all of us who have the Holy Spirit. We have the name. We live in and under and by and through the name. That spirit, that name on us means we're not trying to chase or catch the presence and the power and the authority of God. It's already on us. It's in us. You have it. That's the gospel. There's no more chasing, no more running after these things. God, in his love and in his grace, has freely given it to us. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives freely. Why? Because we have the name. There is no name under heaven given to mankind by which we can be saved. That means if you have Jesus Christ, you're living in his name, you have salvation. That means you have the holiness, the forgiveness, the power, the authority, the image and likeness of Jesus Christ on you. You don't need to chase after it. He's given it to you out of his great love. Rejoice in the name. What a beautiful name. What a wonderful name. What a powerful name. The name of Jesus Christ. I hope that filled you up just a little bit. Just enough to change your life forever. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that in Jesus Christ, your name is now on me, on us. That this name, this holiness, this love, this beauty, this glory, Lord, it's on us and we now live in it. I pray that you'd help us to believe it. And by believing, we would repent and we would rejoice. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that concludes the sermon. I just want to remind you, next week online, as we gather before the sermon, I would invite you to write a comment in the YouTube stream. And the comment is, of course, encouragement and celebration, but also maybe a prayer request, a testimony. Doesn't have, you know, of course, there's no limit to how long it needs to be. But just a few, you know, sentences to tell us how you're doing or how we can pray for you or how can we rejoice with you, whatever that can be. And then we'll pray with you and through with you and alongside you in the live stream next week in the name of Jesus. We'll gather next time, okay? So, hopefully, for the 12 of you who are still online. Thank you for joining us. Have a great week. God bless you. Amen.